Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Matt Scott to my Mari Forth.
Wow.
Mr. Matt Scott.
Wow.
Official tag team.
Wow. We're a tag team. We're like a tag team.
Like a real tag. I feel like we've seen each other in person enough now. To officially say that we are a tag team. And we've been training. And we're going to get in the squared circle.
Yes, that's our big announcement. That's our New Year's resolution.
Welcome back.
Have a match by the end of the year. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Yay.
Happy tag team.
Yeah.
Happy wrestling. We're just happy to be here. Everything's positive. We love it. Marty, how's it going?
Matt, it's great. No, yeah, we've been gone, y'all. we're coming back from our winter break.
Yeah.
Sorry we left y'all hanging there.
For the record,
we knew we were going on break.
We just didn't want to break it to you.
Yeah, we didn't want to tell you.
That's our issue. Our issue.
Not yours.
It's not your fault if you have abandonment issues because we didn't tell you we were going to be on break, but we knew, and it was a good December off, good time to enjoy the holidays.
We ghosted all of our listeners.
Yes.
Everybody complexes.
We did lots of complexes even.
Yes.
Look at that. It's so deep. Wow. Look at that. We will take a break again at some point. We probably won't tell you just to mess with you all. We'll work you, but
learned from our mistakes. We did get some people reaching out to us like,
are you okay?
Exactly.
There were people who were concerned. Like, are you guys done? What happened? Did you have a fight at SummerSlam and I didn't hear that, but that's what I imagine people said. We got dozens of emails asking us where we were, tweets, everything. And we're back and we missed each other, except I feel like it hasn't been that long since we've talked.
Yeah.
I don't know about on podcast. Other than Patron Mafia or Podcaster Mafia. We're not talking about that.
No, we are not.
You're not. Don't watch that. Mari and I are part of Podcaster Mafia. Please don't watch it. Horribly embarrassing. We were in it for a long time. Not a good performance.
Yes. So exactly. So we will let you guys know next time we go on breaks. But it was the holidays. We both wanted to spend time with our families, get a much needed break from wrestling, because unlike the WWE and AEW and all the wrestling companies, we need breaks.
We took our hiatuses and we're on season four now. Somehow, some sort of seasons.
Who's counting? Not us. Even though we just kind of
adopted the number. I'm sorry.
It happens. Yes, it's okay. It's all right.
We're back. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Mari, the main thing is we're back and we're better than ever. We're going to try some new things. We're going to ask for more feedback.
And I'm better than ever.
Okay, we don't want to get demonetized.
Oh, sorry, that's for just shout out to Eric Bischoff, who I know is a loyal listener. love you, Big E. Oh, sorry. Not Big E, but Big E. I call him Big E. It's our friend thing. Sorry,
oh, okay, Martin. Sure, yeah. If you say so.
Yeah.
But we have a wonderful guest this week. Oh,
we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
Well,
we
have damn. A look at that. Should I introduce our guest?
I think you should.
Okay. Even though I don't know who it was, making his way to the podcast, hailing from the capital of the Philippines, he's a voiceover artist, podcaster, radio DJ, TV and events host, writer, frequent flyer, known for his work on the Wrestling podcast, the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast, On Deck with Stan C, now steaming a Sonoy podcast, and his role as WWE's Tagalog announcer from Manila, the Thrilla, the voice of the wrestling people, and the Wrestling Wrap Ups, number one Stan C.
That is a grade A introduction, my friend. Thank you so much for having me back. It's great to just be back here and to kick off another season of the Wrestling Wrap Up. Man, let's do this.
Yes. Yeah. And we couldn't have done it with anybody better. I mean,
literally,
we got Stan in the building. We're back to talk about a crazy week of just championship swapping.
Shenanigans.
But we do got to talk about some news.
Yes.
We can't even keep up with everything that happened when we were away. So we're just going to go over what just recently happened.
Yes.
We got a lot of comments and tweets and emails asking us to talk about the NXT 2.0 releases. Guys, we're tired. We are tired. Like we've already talked about the releases. At this point, there's not much more we can say. The difference is these releases were more of the behind the scenes corporate releases in NXT 2.0, and it came right after like New Year's Evil. So a lot of it is like, it feels like the old regime is out, their new regime is coming, and it's intriguing. It really is.
Yeah.
I think when they said NXT 2.0, they said 2.0. And I'm not really mad at it because I've been loving NXT 2.0. I said it right before the break. So I'm excited to see where that new brand goes. And if some of the old guard, you know, I want to see where this goes. And unfortunately, yeah. William Regal did get released, but he had a great tweet that he sent out. Matt, yeah. Did you wanna,
yeah. And I saw this just yesterday, and I loved what he had to say, because, you know, as fans, especially as fans who talk about wrestling or think about wrestling so often, I think we just kind of get caught up in like, oh my gosh, releases again. We're so angry and upset. But William Regal posted, thank you to WWE for a wonderful 21 year run. You gave a lad. I thought, oh, I love this. Oh, I love him. Mm. You gave a lad who was happy and in Wonderland wrestling on a carnival. Okay, look, there's some typos in here. But basically, he was saying that he had a charmed life for 21 years. No complaints. And please, no one waste time replying, as I won't have a bad word said against the company. I will add that WWE saved my life in 1999 when they didn't need to. Kept my family fed and took me all around the world. You have my gratitude forever. You allowed me to live a charmed life. And I really appreciate this, because, you know, you're like, no one is guaranteed none of us are guaranteed our jobs, right? And the roles that we have, and nothing lasts forever. And I think something that's cool about this is just appreciating like the experience and the time that they had, as tumultuous as some points might be for certain people. And, you know, I also would say that like corporate restructuring is a thing, and clearly WWE is really committed to, you know, to the shift to not only NXT 2.0, but like the shift to what that all means beyond NXT. And so,
yeah,
you know, I'm starting to kind of, like not even accept the releases, but just realize that, like, you know,
expect them. Yeah.
And even beyond that, just like appreciate that, like maybe on a positive note, there will be like less less people sitting around frustrated about not being booked or not being used or not appreciated as much. And maybe they'll be able to put more time and energy into the people that they're keeping. You know, maybe the people who'll be there will be paid more, all that fun stuff. Who knows? But I don't know. I feel like something even about our break kind of put that into perspective for me a little, like, okay, let's see where this goes, right? Give them the benefit of the doubt.
I just want to say something about William Regal real quick. So a few years ago, the WWE actually came here to the Philippines to do a scouting trip. And at the time, I was affiliated with a local promotion, and I was one of the people who was really putting this scouting trip together for the local scene. And I was really praying that William Regal would be part of the contingent they would send over. He was not, unfortunately, but who was part of that trip was Canyon Seaman, who's no longer with WWE as well. Yeah. And Ryan Katz, one of the names who was part of that latest batch of releases. So Ryan Katz is probably most known for being the guy in the Vaudevillains' entrance video. Remember them? There's this one dude with a megaphone who would like announce them in. So that's Ryan Katz. He's actually a producer behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And when he was here, he was the one taking video of all the local wrestlers who were performing for the WWE scouts. And Ryan Katz was the guy who was super amiable towards the local talent, really telling them what they could have done better, what they should have focused on, what WWE is looking for at these scouting trips. And by all accounts, from what he'd posted and, you know, all the wrestlers and staff members who said good things about him following his departure from the company, he's a stand-up guy. And I'm really happy that I got to meet him, because it's a great snapshot into the inner workings of WWE. And then, you know, to tie that into my own experience right now. And when what you just said, Matt, nothing is guaranteed. And the fact that all of us can sit here to be where we are and to talk about this sport, this industry that we all love, is it really does put things into perspective.
Yeah. For me, if there's any worry, I'm not too, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, who's going to scream War Games? And like William Regal, like left. What I'm more afraid of is like William Regal was like the top talent scout. So like him leaving and his discerning eye leaving, that's the most scariest thing to me. But you always just got to trust that they have somebody backed up. And I only say that because, you know, they're William Regal helped get Sasha Banks into the company. So like, that's what I'm like, man, you know, somebody who can scout talent like that is gone. And that always feels like a loss, but So, we wish the best for all the releases. Toni Storm also got released. Hope she's doing better. I don't know the circumstances of her release.
Yeah, and it sounded like, just to clarify, I don't know if it was confirmed that she requested and was granted her release, but that's what I heard. So, you know, she was able to get that space. It sounds like she wanted that. So.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I've heard, but we don't know anything really, truly about it. What's up, Laurie?
No, just I think we said, like, especially with all of the other releases, like the good thing about wrestling right now, it's just so many places that you can wrestle. Well, I mean, ROH just kind of closed too, but you know, the industry is thriving right now. So hopefully these talents can kind of like bounce on their back on their feet.
Well, I think that the thing I was just thinking though too, one, I think that that's something that's really powerful, is that there are options for talent, especially as we get to this point that's post pandemic, but also to this point, well, we're not post pandemic, but as we get there, eventually one day in 5 years, as we get to a point where people are able to have more events. And then also as we're unfortunately at this point where there are so many people who were released, but now looking for work, which is amazing. Like, who knows what will spring up, if there'll be new promotions and new opportunities and like new life in either the indie scene or other things there. So, I mean, I think that it's positive from what I could say about Toni Storm that I know is that I watched an interview that she did with, I'm blanking now because this was like 2 weeks ago, which is basically like 5 years in panorama time. Yes. I think that, you know, there were challenges, like she was saying that it is frustrating at times, you know, when things aren't going exactly the way that you want. And again, it's like kind of the theme, maybe the theme of what we're saying in the news segment, like nothing's guaranteed, but you could go other places and find other opportunities or take a break and take care of yourself. And I'm happy that that's how the story is going. I hope that she's doing especially well, because again, it sounds like it was her choice. And I really hope that people are respecting that. And, you know, we'll see what happens with her, where she ends up and goes, but you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see her in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. Because apparently anybody could be at the Royal Rumble. Oh, we did get some
for better or worse. Yeah. Okay, wait, not anybody.
I mean, no. Okay,
Mari, so are you going to be in the Royal Rumble? Are you in?
Oh no, I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
I mean, there's still like 10-15 spots open. So hey.
Yeah, exactly. So we did get an announcement for some Royal Rumble entrances, mainly for the women. We got, I didn't even count, but it seemed like a good portion of the women they announced.
19.
Which, yeah. 19. Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. And I mean, some of them were shocks or surprises. Some people were mad. They're like, oh my God, why would you tell us? I'm like, guys, like of the 19 in there, about like 12 of them, you knew were going to be in it.
I love that they told us. Because mainly for the reason of like, you told us, and anything could change, things could change. But I mean, well, we could talk through a little bit of who different people are announced. But like, I just like the fact that it's announced, which kind of guarantees it more for, it seemingly to me would guarantee it more for someone. Like when I think of Summer Rae, for instance,
I'm like way more happy
than I expected to be about Summer Rae returning here. But I was actually just watching an Instagram live that she did at like early this morning. So what she was saying is she was up like on Twitter, on Instagram, like responding to messages and just checking things out until early in the morning. And she was overwhelmed with the response. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect it to be as positive as it was, because, you know, people on Twitter especially are what they are. And it wasn't going to be announced from what she said. And then it was announced, which was amazing. And so she was worried that she'd been gone for so long that she didn't know what the response would be, if it would be positive or negative. And she said that she's known for weeks. And so I'm like really excited to see her. And for, again, we'll continue a little bit through the list, but I'm happy that like, even if it's a one-off, that these people could appear and like it raises their stock.
Mm-hmm.
Charge so more on Cameo. They could like get more bookings, which is like a really positive thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so funny now. I think it's so great that the Divas era is starting to finally kind of get their due, you know? I think people are really starting to realize that it wasn't the girlies' fault that they were getting put in those type of, you know, inconsequential matches. You know what I'm saying? It was the direction of the company at the time. So there's more appreciation for your Summer Rays, your Kelly Kellys, and your Michelle McCools, because people are like, man, they did that thing when being, you know, limited in comparison to what we're getting now with women's wrestling. So I love to see when people like Summer Rae get her due like that. They also, I mean, let's not bury the lead here. They announced Mickie James, the current
You want to talk about that? We've been talking for so long. Stan, what was your reaction to that big news, to the quote unquote Forbidden Door opening?
I was watching SmackDown Live on the East Coast feed here in Manila, right? And when I was listening to the announcement, Pat McAfee mentioned Impact Knockouts champion Mickie James. I was like, holy shit. Did you just have a Freudian slip on live TV? And then when I saw the Twitter announcement, I was like, wow, it's Twitter official, which means that, you know, I can talk about it on commentary at the Royal Rumble and mention that she's with Impact right now. And I think it's a huge deal that Impact is being recognized in the WWE. I think the last time that an outside company outside of ICW or Progress on NXT UK was mentioned in WWE was New Japan when Gallows and Anderson debuted on Raw. That was 6 years ago.
Okay.
Look at that.
I'm so excited. I hope she stays the champion until then. They won't let her bring the belt.
That's where my head was going. I know that. Well, look.
Will they?
Let's start, like, I don't know how many candles you have, but we could start
let's with start the, lighting.
Candle circles.
And she's got to beat Diana Perazzo first, right?
Right.
Mm. Wow. Well.
Yeah, she does. Diana tweeted saying, like, I'm going to beat her before then. I'm like, no. Like, I don't want that. Because
and then Diana Perazzo takes her spot, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Diana Perazzo is also going to be in. Who knows? No, we don't know. No, I don't
let's
see
not
it.
Do that.
I don't
let's
see that happening.
Let's go back to Mickey.
Hey, I love that the companies have also put out these press releases. Like, I don't know if you saw the PR from Impact and from Scott D'Amore. Like how detailing how they really talked about this for weeks and that they've been so excited to announce this deal. So it's really that's as awesome. Official as official can be.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Know what? I think the thing that I love most about this though is that like, okay, we have like spent so much time over the last year thinking of and like seeing releases, but I wonder if we're going to see more stuff like this for people who've been let go and released or people who haven't been with the company for a long time for whatever reason come back and shine. Yeah. Like, and I hope that we get more opportunities like this. Like who knows? Because there are 11 more spots in the Women's Rumble right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that probably most of those will be from people who are on the current roster.
Right.
And some from NXT 2.0. But who knows?
Who knows? I know.
We might get some other people.
Yeah, I'm really wondering if there's going to be like definitely a big surprise shock entrance. If I had to put my money on it, I would say Nia Jax. I would say Nia Jax. Yeah, only because like I still don't understand the circumstances of how her and the company split. And she just seems such like a WWE like product. I can't imagine they can't come to an agreement to come back.
There are so many options. You never know with wrestling because what's a work and what's a shoot. Like again, giving the example of Summer Rae, who is like who I like to think of as the crypto queen at this point because she's like big in the cryptocurrency world for some reason. It's so strange. Oh, it's bizarre. No. I mean, maybe it's not bizarre, weird. But anyway, like I think the thing that that she mentioned was like, I know on Instagram Live last week, I said that I wouldn't do it. I don't have time, but I was working you and that's what life's about. And so that's kind of the fun thing. We never know when to believe what anyone's saying. I think Molly Holly also like worked us on her appearance a couple of years ago or
that's
so
right,
saying
yeah.
she wasn't mm-hmm. going to do it. So, you know, I'm happy with what we have already. Maybe they just make it a 19 woman Royal Rumble and
also got Kelly, like I said, Michelle McCool, yes. which I'd just like to point out. I feel like Kelly and Michelle McCool have been in more Royal Rumbles than Charlotte and Sasha.
They have.
Yeah, that's right.
Legit. They have. Right. And I'm like, just come back and wrestle. You're like, I'm confused. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah, I think the Rumble's like the annual Michelle McCool and Kelly retirement time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice. Like, I feel it's almost a question of, like, who can't we bring? Well, I mean, they've been around does kind of feel like it. Melina
was trending on Twitter, and I think people are calling for Melina to come back. And on a personal note, I just want to see somebody who'll get me so close to cussing on air. Like, that's what I want. I mean, obviously, I can't cuss on air, right? Much less on the WWE Network. Oh, but if somebody gets me to that point, I know they'll have done a great job of surprising me.
I want Melina. I want a Melina and Naomi spot. Manifest.
It can happen. I mean, we saw Melina back, like, what was it, in 2019? So I think it was summer 2019. It was like a Legends edition of Raw when the 24/7 championship was. Like,
yeah,
I think that was the night like that Kelly won it, and
the thousandth episode or 3,000 something like that. One of those milestones.
One of those.
Yeah. So, for the men, we got the Mysterios, Street Profits, and then Johnny Knoxville. That was weird.
The announcement at day one, he made a video, right? He declared his intentions at day one, then they followed through on SmackDown. So, I mean, I guess he qualifies because he technically threw Sami Zayn over the top rope. So I'll give him that.
It's the Drew Carey spot. I'm okay
with
it.
Thank you.
I'm okay with it.
Sure. We also got, like, Charlotte announced she was going to be in the Rumble, which I don't like when the champions enter the Rumble personally. That's a me thing. Because I feel like you should be defending that title unless you're defending it in the Rumble, which we know they're not. She's not. And I wouldn't want to see that either. But, so Charlotte says she's going to be in the Rumble, which again, kind of, it doesn't make sense, but she every time it's been Rumble time, she's kind of been a champion. I think there's only been there's only the 2 years that she wasn't a champion at Rumble. It was the two Rumbles that she went in and almost won. She almost won and then she won. So she announced she was going to be in the Rumble. We got Naomi, interrupting her and asking for a title shot, which I love this. So I would love for Naomi to just face Charlotte at the Rumble, but maybe they're building towards a Naomi Rumble win to face Charlotte. Either way, this was very intriguing. Yeah. I'm just kind of powering through this. And then of course, Sasha Banks, Sasha got injured in a match against Charlotte earlier this week. She tweeted out that she was fine and everything was all good. But we didn't see her last night on SmackDown. Yeah, we didn't see her last night on SmackDown. So she's probably still resting up. And so, you know, me, I want either a Naomi or a Sasha win. A lot of the internets want it. But either way, I think this is a really good start for something here.
Can you go back to Charlotte real quick? Because there was a weird condition she mentioned.
We are going back. We're going back. Yeah.
and Charlotte said that if she were to win the Royal Rumble as SmackDown Women's Champion, she gets to pick her own challenger at WrestleMania, which I think is a very interesting wrinkle.
It's interesting.
So, you know, if you're into the whole New Japan G1 climax thing, that should be familiar to you. Because the world champion in New Japan does enter the G1, which is like their equivalent of the Royal Rumble. And if that champion ends up winning the whole thing, they get to pick who challenges them. So, you know, there's something similar to that little wrinkle, which I actually enjoyed when Charlotte said that. I was like, all right, I like where this is going. I think that it's something fresh. It's not that similar to what Roman Reigns had to go through in 2016, if you remember that, when they did the whole one versus all thing.
Yeah.
One versus all,
But I'll also say, I don't mind her being in it. Like, I think that, I don't think that they really have anyone who's like built up the right way to face her and be a credible opponent at the Rumble. And so I like the idea of her being in the match because it could be the start of something new, a new feud for her. So we'll kind of see how that factors in. Or she might win the Rumble. And I would love to see Charlotte Flair versus Charlotte Flair. I would love to see it. I would love to see her bumping around the ring like Ric Flair, except by herself.
By yourself.
And the ref's like, Charlotte, you've been going on for 20 minutes. Like, could you just hang yourself and get this over with or get counted out? Since Mari's putting out her Sasha Banks prediction and your Naomi prediction, I'm just going to say, you know who I want to win? I want the one, the only, the queen of WWE's Extreme. Amy, Lita, Dumas to win the Rumble. I'm seeing it this year. I think this is her year. She's come back. She's tried. I know, you know, she had to shake off some of the rust.
I'm trying to think of it, like, all of the years in the Men's Rumble. Have they had a nostalgia act win the Rumble?
Win?
That's what I said,
No.
I think the closest was like when Edge came back in 2020, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And he went really, really far. Like he was the last guy eliminated or the second to the last guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, right.
That'd be something.
Anyways. Yeah. But he's still current. But yeah, like that'd be kind of cool. I just, I think it's going to be interesting. I think I saw somebody on Twitter say like, I think they think whoever eliminates Charlotte is going to be the one to face her. And I was like, that makes sense. That's what happened.
Hey, give me Aaliyah in that spot. Let her have her Maven moment.
Ooh,
and then
Aaliyah.
Let's put Aaliyah into the main event.
I want to see her jump up with that dropkick, like a Maven style dropkick, and just knock Charlotte out.
And that would be the only cool ending to this story. If Charlotte won the Rumble and then she picked her opponent, she's like, oh, I'll pick little Aaliyah. Oh my gosh. You know, and talked down to her for 2 months. In order for that story to pay off, you would then have to have Aaliyah beat Charlotte.
But that's a good story. Yeah. Oh no, you know you don't.
That's a great story.
You don't necessarily need her to beat Charlotte. Like it could come. No, there are lots of ways they could do it.
No,
Mari,
I don't want to see it.
There's a lot of time between now and the Rumble and WrestleMania. Yeah. I think they can make something happen. Hey, Mari, you're repping Sasha Banks and Naomi. Matt, I acknowledge your personal connection to Lita, but I will acknowledge my personal connection to Ate Shotzi Blackheart. I got to rep. Fellow Filipino, right? Shotzi also declared to be in the Women's Rumble. If there's anyone I'm going to put money on, I got to put it on Shotzi.
I love Shotzi. I really do wish they kept her face, though. I did not understand them turning her heel. So I would love to see. I would love to see her win, and I would love to see her go on. Even if they have to just turn a tweener, something. I don't know. Nobody wants to boo Shotzi. I don't want to boo Shotzi. So
I don't want to boo Shotzi.
I'll do it for her.
I'll do it, but only because she wants me to. You know,
yeah,
it's that type of thing.
All right, we got to keep it moving, y'all. Like this is just too much fun.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Rumble. It's gonna be awesome.
It is. And it's just great talking with Stan, of course. We did get an email. We got a few, but we're going to point out this one.
Yes, we have millions of emails, but we're going to pick out this one from our friend and faithful listener, Kenny, who writes, I love this. This is my favorite start to an email. Why? Why did Brock Lesnar win the WWE title? I get that Roman was sick and it made sense to put him in the five-way because the fans came for him. And then he adds in parentheses, hopefully Roman makes a full recovery and his health is restored. Mm-hmm. But as a fan of Raw, I am very upset. They were building this beautiful storyline on Raw. And now, in Kenny's words, not mine, it means nothing. I just started watching WWE in October. I think Kenny started rewatching WWE in October, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, how so often, like we as fans, we have what we want and we don't get it. And now Kenny sees what we mean. And was also mentioning that it appears a lot of fans were happy that Brock won the title, but he doesn't understand how people could like it. I'm a fan of story and building characters, but this destroys everything they're doing with the storyline of Big E, KO, and Seth. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Kenny. Yeah, I feel this.
We'll definitely get into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for emailing this because I think that's an interesting point. And I mean, we'll talk about this as we go along. But yeah, the whole we're talking about day one today, as you can imagine. And this is definitely one of the biggest headlines out of that.
Yeah, we just want to thank Kenny so much. He said we were one of the reasons that he got back into watching wrestling and that he appreciated us. So thank you so much, Kenny. We really loved your email and all the nice things you said to us and about us. But we also just wanted to take a moment to remember Sean Tucker. So Matt.
Yeah. And Sean Tucker, for as many of you who are listening and who are part of the Rob Hissa podcast Rehab community probably know, was a wrestling fan and someone who pushed for RHP to have a wrestling podcast for a long time. But unfortunately, after experiencing some health issues, passed away on January 1st of this year. And last night, actually, so that's Friday, January 7th, Rob Hissa podcast and Rob Sesternino himself hosted a stream to honor Sean and his memory. And what I thought was cool is that, like, you know, I've seen Sean in our Job as a Squadcast group posting and like starting conversations and commenting. But this was cool to really get to know him and learn about how he loved to play the online reality games and apparently won like 200 plus games of Secret H, which a lot of people were playing and still play. And he's also, again, I mentioned, active member of Job as a Squadcast. He had a favorite match, which was HBK versus The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell in 1997 when Kane debuted. And I just also want to give a special shout out to Brett, who is part of this community, I'm sure listening, who joined the celebration to talk about Sean, and also Ashley, who mentioned Sean's wrestling fandom as part of the stream. So if you are a listener and you know Sean or want to learn more about him and kind of join us in celebrating his life, I've actually included a link to the stream, which is unlisted, but I asked for permission. We were able to include it in the playlist of clips. So it's at the end of the playlist if you want to watch and learn more about Sean. And I'll also post that in the Job as a Squadcast Facebook group. So, you know, it's sad to lose him, but I think it was amazing to hear like the type of person he was, and glad to know that he loves what we're doing and that he would love that we're recording this podcast right now.
Yeah, our condolences to Sean Tucker and his family. If you want to reach out to us.
Yes. I'll also say as you transition into that, like, reach out to us, get in touch with us. I think one of the lessons that I personally took away from the stream last night was just that, like, it means so much when we reach out and are in touch. Like, don't hesitate to DM us, to email us, to tweet us, to comment and tag us, to reply to us. Like, we love to hear from you. When we're able to do more stuff in person, we'll love to meet you all. But we're here. We're a community. We're in this together. So feel free to reach out.
Exactly. So you can email us wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can follow us on Twitter @WrestlingRehapUp. On Twitter, you can also follow me and Matt on Twitter @MariTalksTooMuch, @MattScottGW. Of course, like we said, you can join the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group, the unofficial Facebook group of our RHAP wrestling fanatics. Yeah, that's a word.
Yes, exactly.
And of course, we want you to subscribe to our podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. If you type that in, it'll bring up all the options on where you can subscribe to us. Please subscribe. Yes. So that you can hear us, we can hear back from you. You can get, you can rate and review, all that good stuff. Hopefully you're looking at our faces.
Beautiful faces.
Sorry, I didn't. Kind of slightly sad faces here on YouTube @ Rob Has a Podcast. On YouTube, just search Rob Has a Podcast, Wrestling Rehap Up, and you find us there. Whew. All right. There it is. Let's just go into a quick ad and we will be back to talk about the highlights of the week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so it's time to get into it. I mean, I can't believe we've already been talking for 30 plus minutes and haven't even started. Jesus. This is our new leaf was to like shorten stuff
we've
up.
Been we are starting. On a bad no, track. We started, Mari. That was the start. And I think honestly,
we are on a bad track.
That was a pretty good start from you and Stan. I don't know how I did, but you know, I thought you were gonna do a Vader reference there. I thought you were gonna say it's Vader time, and I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't.
Well, why didn't you? I don't know. I can't hold the comedic weight here.
Okay, sorry. Next time.
So, as usual, all the highlights of the week can be found in our description, description box and show notes below. So let's just get into, this week has just been so interesting in the wrestling world. We saw a few new champions get crowned this week, and it was like, they were like, new year, new us, all the companies, like just new champions, new this, new that. So we have to start off with the day one premiere event. That is the
no,
the
let me name. Correct you right there. It's a premium live event.
Premium event. Sorry. Yeah, premium Mari. Event. Okay. Thank you, Stan.
Premium live.
Premium
event.
Live event. When they kept saying that, I was like, huh? Like, and then I was like, oh my God, it makes so much sense because the only way you can watch it is if you're subscribed to Peacock Premium, which I was subscribed to regular Peacock. And then one day I looked up, I was like, wait, I don't have access to WWE. And then so I had to trick my dad into upgrading. And I think he just kind of forgot. Like we use his sign in. I think he just kind of forgot. So I'm like, cool. So like,
you're going to quickly have that yanked. Like, so you're going to just find that your account gets taken away.
He's going to look up one day and he's like, an extra $2. What is happening? Like, but so far, so good. We are still watching. Overall, it was a pretty good premium live event. Stan, what was how did you feel about the live event overall?
I mean, we can't bury the lead and talk about how we were all blindsided by the news that Roman wasn't going to be able to be part of it, right? God. So that was a huge bummer. And so I think I was scary. Having my coffee that morning, preparing for the show, right? And I had my notes and all that. Mm-hmm. And then we all read the news that Roman wasn't going to be there. So I'm like, crap, how do I try to incorporate Brock Lesnar into the Fatal 5-Way and all of that? But when that match happened, man, it was just a glorious car crash, like however short it was, right? It was like 8 minutes something. And when it ended, my partner, Carlo, and I on the mic, we were like, that's it. It's over. It's done.
Yeah. It was just like spot after spot. I feel like
it was, they out of the gate. And it worked because it was like, you could tell each man was like desperate in a sense. It was like,
there was urgency.
Exactly. Like you have to take this person out, then we take this person out and we got it. You know, it was really good. Very well, fleshed out. I love the whole Kevin and Seth teaming together, because I mean, come on, at this point I know it's every man for themselves, but there's a lot of man meat in that ring. You need to get rid of some of these guys. So I agree. Yeah, like big meaty men bumping meat. That's what that
big meaty
was.
Men slapping meat.
Yes, exactly. So I love that, the train wreck of it all.
It was too much meat for Big E to handle.
Oh, okay.
That's
true. That's true. And like Kenny kind of said, they did a really good job of building the story about like Big E and Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And then at the last second there, then like Bobby had to earn his way in becoming a face. Like Bobby was a face. I was like, wait, when did this happen? Like gradually and slowly. That was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah. I think the other piece of it too is just like the whole dynamics were so strange here, because like there's the whole weird thing between Big E and Lashley, and then where it's like they're not friends, but I don't even know what to call that, I guess.
It was a relationship of necessity, because with Seth and KO teaming up, they had to team up. You know, there were some tag matches, I believe, on Raw before day one. So it was a friendship of necessity, but then in the end, it kind of was, what defeated Big E was he stopped Lashley from getting the Hurt Lock on, Brock. He delivered a big ending to Bobby Lashley. But he didn't cover Bobby Lashley. Like I was like, no. As soon as he like turned around and tried to, I think he tried to do a bigoting on Brock. Man, I was so mad. I was like, dang it. I wish he had, you know, if he went for the cover, kayfabe, then he would have won, but he wanted to take out Brock and Brock just got the best of him. I will say I did not agree with Big E taking the pin. I did not like that. I was really like, dang it. But I get it. You know, after I get it, it's like, oh, Brock needs to definitively be the champion, blah, 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 blah. But it really made me sad for Big E to go out like that with his reign. It felt short, too short to me. But yeah, it happened. Brock won.
Yeah. I mean, I would also say, though, that like Big E could have won in this under these circumstances, but also yeah. It totally makes sense that he wouldn't win. Like, in what? I mean, it would almost be more strange if Brock didn't win this match because he has a little bit more time to mentally prepare, but he's Brock freaking Lesnar. Like, he's able to go in and eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Like, just taking the gimmick into account, you can't really fault Big E for being beaten by Brock Lesnar.
Right.
You know, that's the one thing. If it was anyone else, I think I would have more of a problem with it. But in this case, that's kind of where I'm like, let's see where things go with Big E. I wonder what's going to happen next. Will he win the Royal Rumble?
I have to give credit to Brock and to Paul Heyman when they reunited on Raw the very next night, and they spoke so highly of Big E. Like, yeah. I thought it really reinforced how they really characterized Big E as this fighting champion, this heroic character who you can easily get behind. I really appreciated that when Heyman and Brock
did a great job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. They really put Big E over, so I really love that. And there has to be some connective tissue here. Remember, 3 years ago, Brock was the same guy who defeated Kofi Kingston
for
the WWE Championship. Then now he defeated Big E for the WWE Championship. And I don't know anything about booking, all right? Like, all I know is like, okay, this is the show. Like, that's all I know. I don't know anything about whatever happens in the booking team. So let's put this out there into the universe. What if King Woods wins the Royal Rumble and challenges Brock Lesnar to avenge the New Day?
Oh my gosh, that'd be so crazy.
I don't know squat, all right? But let's put that energy out there into the universe. Crazy.
Underdog story.
I love that.
That would be amazing. And even if we also get like Big E running, winning the Rumble and then also coming back for Brock, we could do that too. But it's just like, it was just great. I loved how that was a great point, Stan. I just loved how Paul Heyman acknowledged what Big E winning the championship meant, which is that really got me. I was like, thank you, Paul, because that's all we've been saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? As Black wrestling fans, we just talk about how that representation matters, how we all feel when we see a Kofi win, when we see a Big E win, when we saw Lashley win, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the significance of the WWE championship going from Bobby Lashley to Big E, you know what I'm saying? And Paul really nailed it with when he said how much that win meant to the lineage of the title itself. So I agree. I do think there's worse ways for Big E to have lost his title here.
Yeah.
So, but it's so hard not to just, you know, get your fandom and be like, so upset. But I didn't agree with a lot of people who said that they didn't really like Big E's reign. I thought, like Stan said, he was a fighting champion. He went out there and fought every single week. I do wish he had more than one feud. I feel like the Seth KO, all this feud was all one feud that didn't really, he didn't get like multiple.
I mean, it's a pandemic era. Time is a flat circle. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So that I do wish. But other than that, I'm just glad that it happened. You know, be glad that it happened. And depending on, like Matt said, let's see what happens next. Let's see what happens next. I mean, people are still behind Big E. He's still over. But I definitely think that this match at day one foreshadowed what was going to happen on Raw, because the whole 8 minutes of the match is basically revolving around Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar and how they never went one-on-one. And everything that we saw in that match makes you want to see that match, and we're going to get it at Royal Rumble, because Bobby Lashley beat KO Seth and Big E in a street fight, a really crazy street fight. So we're getting Bobby versus Brock, and I'm excited. I truly am.
Yeah, it's a battle of the guys who ended up going to MMA, right? And then coming back to sports entertainment as conquering heroes of the sport. I love it. I was like, if we're going to have a mega card at the Royal Rumble featuring Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, then I can't really complain over what we saw at day one, because they're really setting us up for a bigger show. It's like them one-upping themselves this early in 2022, and I love it.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think the other piece of it too, like, and Stan, you referenced MMA with this one. Like, I feel like I've seen this as a dream match for the better part of the last decade with that in mind. So it is cool that it's happening, and I hope that kind of makes up a little bit for, you know, what's happening with Big E, you know. So
exactly,
that's the way it is. But you mentioned Mari, just to touch on it a little bit. Insane street fight. Like, I love whenever they go up the stairs and like into the crowd. They destroyed the merch stand, which disrespectful. There were some perfectly good shirts on that.
What if there was a line?
If there was a line? Like, you can't cut the line and put it on the table. And then they want shirts, and maybe are the shirts worth more now?
Are they worth less? Are they worth more because they got sweat on them? I don't know. This is weird.
Featuring authentic sweat.
Yeah. I'm just picturing someone like, oh, hey, could I have the one covered in sweat and blood? Biggie's sweat and blood, yes.
Specifically? Yes. I mean, people bid for like survivor-worn clothing on eBay, right? That's like, so with authentic smell from the island. So I'm guessing they would still bid for the sweat-laden shirts from the merch table.
Oh my god!
It's kind of freaky to think about. I never thought about the smells from the islands when it comes to Survivor, Stan. But
smells. I'm done. But yeah, that was a great match. So you can see all of those. We have a highlight from day one in the highlights playlist.
You know.
We also we also got Lashley and Lesnar crashing through the barricade. We have a clip of the Big E Lashley Owens Rollins match, and of course, like we said, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar reuniting. And the funny thing was, after Bobby Lashley won that match, they go to Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar says, "I'm going to see you guys on SmackDown," because he's still talking about Roman Reigns. So,
I don't know how I felt about that. I guess, like, I wish that he would have commented, like, "Oh man, Lashley's coming." Oh, I don't know what Brock would have actually said, because, like, what does Brock even say anymore? But like it does seem like they're building up to a bigger storyline, and I would assume that this means that we're going to get Brock Lesnar and the Bobby Lashley at Mania, which that would be. I mean, that could be awesome. I didn't mean Bobby Lashley. I meant Roman Reigns, of course. Roman at Mania.
Yeah, that definitely could be it. I'm just wondering, like, are the with both the belts there? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people have been slowly suggesting unification. I'm like, please, I hope not. I would not like to see unification at all.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm very interested to see where this storyline goes. I mean, how this all fits in. You know, down the line, we did also find out that Roman's next opponent is Seth Rollins. So I'm just kind of like, what is happening? Is there no brand split anymore? Seth Rollins is hilarious because all he did was just like knock on the door in the Shield theme song, then come in and start
so
laughing. Yeah, I was like, what is happening here? Like, I am so confused, but in a way that I'm like, fine. Roman, Seth, both heels. Roman versus Brock with a heel Roman and a face Brock. Like, it's very interesting, the new dynamics. And I think they're doing a good job of at least sowing the seeds for stuff.
Mm.
So I guess it'll be more clear after the Rumble. Or maybe we'll get Roman and Brock at the Saudi Arabia show in February or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely going to get something big for that show. So I hadn't even thought about that. But like, yeah, that's interesting because that's only 3 weeks, I think. Yeah, 3 weeks after the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And a month and about a month and a half before Mania, or about like 5 or 6 weeks before Mania. So we'll see. It is really interesting to think about the timing of that show, just because they have put so much effort into building those shows, having mm-hmm. big matches. And, you know, we saw, for big instance, games. And it even feels like a blow off to some extent it has in the past with certain matches. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens and kind of how they use that to build to Mania.
Yeah, because it seems like that, Stan, I don't know if you know, but that seems like that replaced like a Elimination Chamber or Fast Lane, basically.
Yeah, I think they replaced the Elimination Chamber with the Saudi Arabia show in February. What I like to look at is how the road to WrestleMania has actually pretty much begun, right? Like,
yes.
Traditionally, we all think, right? Yeah. And traditionally, we think of the Royal Rumble as the beginning point for the road to WrestleMania. But the way things are being done right now, it looks like we're already there. It's already begun. And if I'm looking at today, we're recording this on January 8th, right? And WrestleMania's mm-hmm. in April. We still have 3 months, right? For things to fall into place. And sad to say, with the reality of the COVID-19 pandemic, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of things can be envisioned right now and things could be very different come WrestleMania. So I'm in a position where I just want to sit back and just let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so glad you said that, because it lines up with something I just thought of, which is, as wrestling fans, especially as huge wrestling fans and people who've loved this for most of our lives, right? Yeah. Like, we're so used to how something is done. Like, oh, that, well, they typically do it this way. But clearly there are so many shifts in terms of how WWE is doing things, and like, and even the wrestling world more broadly. So I want to embrace that spirit of like sitting back and enjoying it, rather than even like prediction, hold on to this thing, except for Lita winning the Rumble. I'm tied to that. I'll be pissed if that doesn't happen. But other than that, I'm kind of, I like that spirit, Stan, just taking it all in and enjoying it.
Yeah, we're in unprecedented times. So like, we have to, so sick and tired of hearing that. So you just never know what can happen. So very, very good point.
Yeah.
But Brock wasn't the only new champion we got in NXT 2.0. We kind of lost a champion and gained a champion.
I mean, that's how it works.
Right? Like, it was, I mean, but in two separate matches. So NXT had their New Year's Evil event. And like, right out the gate, so we got Roderick Strong versus Carmelo Hayes for the North American Championship and the Cruiserweight Championship unification match. And first and foremost, very good, very sound, very technical match, yada, yada, yada. But the build to this match has been so hilarious and just so amazing. Malcolm Bivens, like, that man is hilarious. He is amazing. And then Malcolm Bivens versus Trick Williams is just like, what is happening on this here show?
I love it.
It is hilarious. This is a great storyline here.
The thing that I'm appreciating most about that dynamic that you mentioned with Malcolm Bivens and Trick Williams is like this. I don't even want to call it the return of the manager, but there was it really felt like there's a long stretch where we had like almost no managers. And maybe Paul Heyman was around, but I also during that stretch, Paul Heyman wasn't really around. Like, and so it's cool that they're recognizing that managers have value. And I get that Trick Williams is like tag team partner slash manager, but like even better, you know? And so I loved that the most. And I love that they're both able to add something to the match just by like with the emotion that they bring on the outside.
Yeah.
I just want to press F for respect for this here Cruiserweight Championship and the entire division, you know, with the championship being phased out, being retired once again.
Yes.
You know, the whole division, when it came back, right, for the Cruiserweight Classic, it really gave me something to look forward to. Personally, I was rooting for more talent from Southeast Asia, specifically the Philippines, to be part of the Cruiserweight Classic, because, you know, we're genetically not exactly predisposed to being like a Braun Breaker or being a Brock Lesnar, you know. So the Cruiserweight Classic really was our in for the Filipino talent. But, you know, props to everybody who represented that division. And represented that championship.
The cruiserweight division, like, especially when it came back, what was that, 2016, right? It was so great. We got a lot of really good storylines from the division, and some lasting stars.
And 205 Live.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they ended up releasing a lot of the cruiserweights throughout these last few years. So it makes sense as to why there's no longer a cruiserweight division. And 205 Live itself, from what I've seen, has not featured, you know, it's a lot of women on there now. Yeah. I remember Odyssey Jones was on there calling it 405 Live. I'm like, that's not how this works.
I love the idea of, like, out of context of, like, who Mari is, the fact that it almost sounds like she's complaining about women being on a show is, like,
right, if you take that snippet. It just, 205 Live seems like more, it's become more of a variety show, which I like, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, again, at one point there was no women on 205 Live. I wonder if they will eventually change the name. But I agree with Stan. I mean, it sucks that now it gave a whole new different sort of athlete a chance, and it's gone now. So again, we never know what happens in the future. Hopefully they'll come back. Maybe one day when they want to actually focus on that style of wrestling, we'll get it back. But as of right now, it made sense. If anything, I kind of would have wanted to keep it a little bit longer, just to, because Malcolm Bivens was touting like the openness of it. I would have loved to see some intergender matches like that.
Or some open weight energy.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been really cool. But it's ran its course. Roderick Strong was a great champion for it to end on. And I think Carmelo Hayes winning here was the right decision, because Carmelo is on fire right now. Like, he's supposed to be a heel, but everybody loves him and they still boo him too. So it's just kind of like, he is on fire, and it's lending credence to the whole I'm the A champion thing. He is like literally carrying two belts on his back right now. Maybe we'll get a new design. I don't know. But that was a good match. And if you're going to unify two belts, that's how you do it, I think.
Yeah, and I'll also say, I just love, not only with this match, but with the next match we'll talk about, of course. And actually with a lot of wrestling, I feel like, I love the intentionality of NXT 2.0, where we're getting someone like Roderick Strong, who has all this experience and is definitely a veteran, like, not necessarily someone I would imagine being WWE champion, but someone who still has such a valuable role, of course. Like, you don't need to be champion to have that valuable role. And it's cool that he's there to help elevate, you know, Melo, because I really felt like watching this match that it was really a showcase of Carmelo Hayes. And of course we got what we saw with Roderick, but like, we're used to seeing him shine. It was cool to see the athleticism from Carmelo Hayes in this one. I love that.
There's something that's just nuts to me, that the two top champions in NXT are Melo and Braun, and it gives me some big Lakers energy. And I hate the Lakers, but I love the Braun. No. Melo, Braun, wait, hold up, wrong sport.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they know if they picked up on that one. So that's a good hey. Maybe that was intentional. We'll see.
It's hilarious to me. It's just I love it.
Yeah, and so with that.
Yes.
Braun Breaker finally beat Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT championship. Like,
with
wow.
Steiner recliner.
Steiner recliner.
And then they released the video of Rick Steiner at ringside when he won. Oh, it was so good. I was like, I don't know, my God. Like, man, I'm excited for Braun. I want to see where he takes this championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tommaso did a great job. If you're going to be a transitioning champion, if you can even say that's what he was, like, Tommaso did the thing. He gave everything he could to put Braun over, and he just ushered in. It feels like such a smooth transition into NXT 2.0, and it's because of him. So I don't know if he, you know, I don't know what's next. I don't know if they're really like legit phasing out like a lot of the black and gold stars. But Tommaso did a great job here, and Braun too. Braun is just a freak, if you're going to say it. Like, you know, it's just like Kurt Angle energy. Like, yeah.
Did you just say he's a genetic freak?
There it is.
A genetic freak. Yeah, maybe big Scott Steiner energy.
Yes, exactly. Say.
Even some like, Rick Steiner energy.
I mean, he had a 50% chance of winning the damn match.
But then the 33.3% chance of I don't even, it's like, oh my God. I love Bron Breakker more than I thought that I would. I think, like, you know, something that I read and saw actually a video of, I think from an Instagram live, that had Vince Russo and DDP Diamond Dallas Page on it, was DDP. This is probably not the first time that this has happened, but DDP comparing Braun Breakker to Brock Lesnar. And like, I can see that, like, early career Brock Lesnar, there's really no ceiling for his, like, where he could go and what he'll be like and how he'll evolve. And so I'm kind of pumped for where Braun Breakker will be in 10 years, 5 years, even a few years.
Yeah. I think if he continues to refine his, like, I don't know if I'm, I don't know if this sounds crazy, but I think he's doing a great job of like staying in his lane. Like the way he delivers his promos are just so good, and they feel unique to him, but also a callback to his uncle and his dad. Yeah. Like the switching between the intensity and like the soft spokenness. If he stays in that type of bag, he could do wonders. I think where some talent, can stumble is if they're forced to do things that are outside of their bag. So
yeah.
I definitely want to see him as champion. I want to see what he's going to give us as champion. Does that mean I need to hear him do 7-minute promos? Not really.
I mean, no. I don't think we need anyone to do that.
I know. Yeah. So that's what I'm just saying. I just can't wait to see what he's going to look like as champion, and then who he's going to fight, because there's so much young talent that he can fight, and, you know, Solo Sikoa, Tony D'Angelo, and there's still some of the old guard around that he could fight. I feel so bad calling them the old guard, but NXT is really trying to make you feel that delineation. So a Roddy match would be cool too.
I love what you said, Mari, about the whole stay in your lane in terms of being a character and doing your mic work, because I can make a comparison to John Cena. Remember when he was a doctor of economics, where he really had his own lane as a character, and he just got over really quickly. Yeah. And then when he was on the rise and beat JBL for the WWE Championship, it was a natural way to go, but then it was sink or swim time. Like, that's when we really found out what John Cena was made of. And I think Braun Breakker is in that exact trajectory right now. So it's a very interesting time to be Braun Breakker. And like you, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah. And then I also think about the fact that Braun Breakker has had this chance, again, the beauty of NXT 2.0, to work across from and with Tommaso Ciampa, who has the intensity, has the speed, has the power, has the crowd work, has the mic work. 17 years that Tommaso Ciampa has been wrestling, right? And I remember he's like trained by Killer Kowalski and like a number of other people. And so, like, he has the chance to sit under such a great learning tree on top of being a Steiner, like his father and uncle. And so I think that, I don't think we're ready for Braun. I feel like there's something probably clever with the name Breakker that someone could say here, but I don't think we're ready for how he's gonna. I was gonna say break the walls down, but that's another person that we are not gonna talk about.
It's all right. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we actually got some listener questions about this. So the great Edmo asked, was New Year's Evil closing out the old regime. While Mandy was on NXT for a while, yes, this is the second run, and Imperium are the old school champs, you have Braun, Toxic Attraction, and Carmelo Hayes leading the new era. I mean, I don't think they can make it any blatantly obvious like that this is, you know, out with the old, in with the new. And I was, you know, we were all kind of like, okay, they're saying NXT 2.0, what's going to happen? A lot of people were skeptical when all the new branding and all that happened. But I think it's fair to say that Matt and I have pretty much like really liked what we've seen since the rebrand, because we are major character people. Sorry if I'm speaking for you here, Matt, but like I love interesting characters or over the top characters. Like that's one of the things in wrestling that I really appreciate when I was younger and even now. So, and I think NXT 2.0 is one of the places where we are just getting so much good promo character work. And it's one of the reasons why it's slowly like really getting up there to being almost my favorite show.
And not to like put us over and say that our way of looking at things is the right way of looking at things, but I will make the point that, and this is a point that you could apply to reality TV and social strategy games, where you have some people who watch Survivor or The Challenge and who are really hooked to the people who are really good at the game within the show. And then there are people who are just really entertaining to watch. And I've always been someone who's loved those characters, because it is a show at the end of the day. It's meant to entertain us. And so I mean, you know, maybe to bring that back to wrestling, the analogy would be like really solid in-ring worker who's been on the indies for 15 years versus someone who's like a good worker, but more of a character that WWE is building out of NXT 2.0. Like, you know, different people prefer different things. Mm-hmm. I like a character either way. I like the personalities either way. And I get that, you know, we're not always going to get, you know, the 16-year veteran or whatever in WWE. But we don't need that. We just need the entertaining characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great point you just brought up, Matt, about how different people like different things. And I guess, you know, if this isn't your cup of tea, then there's something else that you can watch. Yes. Like we fortunately live in a time where there are just so many options. And if NXT 2.0 is your cup of tea, then great, right? Then you've got something that is basically tailor made for you. And when I look at NXT 2.0 and Ed Mo's question about this being a new era and all that, I think of one guy, and I'm thinking of Volta, because him being brought over and reintroduced to NXT US is a great opportunity to slot him in as the next big monster villain for Bron Breakker to fight against. So I've been following Walter closely from his time in NXT UK, and I've been such a huge fan. So to see his legend be built up like that, and now to have him in NXT US alongside Barthel and Eichner, right? Put him and Bron Breakker in the ring, put them in a story for a month, couple of months. I can see the whole big meaty men slapping meat in NXT just come to life.
Nice. That's a great, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. I think that'd be a really good foil for Bron, babyface Bron, to go up against the legend, the big, the tall. So he's so tall. We also got Alex Trias. He asked, we truly have seen the official death of NXT that we knew, with a shocking release of William Regal and several other production and writers that were Triple H guys and gals. What impact do we see this having on WWE as a whole and moving forward?
I just want to say, like, I think that I don't want to tell anyone what to do, but what I'm trying to do is kind of just look at it as transition, right? Like things change. Things are changing a lot in the wrestling world right now in so many ways, even in the last few years, right? And so I don't even look at it as the death of NXT, original NXT, but it's like, this is the new evolution of NXT and it's not the same as what it used to be. I mean, just like, you know, wrestling isn't Shawn Michaels versus HBK in 1997 in Hell in a Cell. Like things have evolved and they continue to evolve. And, you know, so I think that this is actually a positive change because WWE could still have, like, they could pick up whoever they could pick up almost whoever they want in the wrestling world, I would like to think, just based on what we've seen in the past. And I also think that, you know, we might see some of those people who are more experienced, who've been around for a long time, come back, fill in some of those roles, fill in the main roster. We're also going to see these homegrown people. And like, the women's division is a great example of what WWE's homegrown talent could look like. Charlotte, Becky, Bianca, the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Bailey, so even Sasha to a large extent, right? And so I feel good about it. I feel really good about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, NXT has been, I mean, it's been through so many eras. You know, it was a game show at one point. So the only difference the only difference between now and, you know, quote unquote, the black and gold eras is that they are just literally making sure you know that we are angling for a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like the NXT that I watched back in 2015 that made me fall in love with Sasha Banks is definitely not the NXT that we had just 2 years ago. So NXT has been in a constant evolution. It always has been. And I think we talked about it on maybe one of the last episodes that we have, but you don't compete in something that you don't think that, you know, you're going to win. You know what I'm saying? NXT being like an almost like an indie style show when Triple H and Shawn Michaels were running it, it didn't work for, people are going to come at it. It doesn't work in comparison to having an alternative product like AEW, like in a sense, like, you know, I mean, the same people who are complaining that NXT Black and Gold is gone are probably the same people who are saying that they liked AEW better than NXT. Well, so like, if you can't compete, make your own lane. And that's what I kind of like about 2.0, because it feels just different than what's being presented on Raw, on SmackDown, and on AEW.
Yeah. And I think, well, I think that there's definitely something, a bigger conversation about like this idea of like, can they compete? Because like, I think they could in theory.
Even compete,
I know what you're saying there, but I think it's also like, you know, AEW didn't exist 3 years ago. We're in a time warp. So let's say three years ago. Right. And, you know, I think it's the right move, especially from what I remember seeing and hearing. And like, people talk way too much about ratings, TV ratings, like who's watching actual TV anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the way that people consume content has changed so much. But, you know, the thing with that is that, like, so many people were comparing NXT to AEW and they were head to head for a little while. And AEW's really good at what they're doing, and it's their lane, and it's for a certain type of wrestling fan, not for everyone, just like NXT isn't for everyone. But I do appreciate that WWE is like more consistently leaning into the sports entertainment stuff, because like that's what they've been. It's entertainment. So let's make a good show. Let's not focus on, let's have the best wrestlers, because that doesn't necessarily draw the casual fans and the people who want a good show. Like, we might appreciate that, all of us, but not everyone will.
Exactly.
Yeah. If anything, I think what 2.0 has shown us is that you can really create certain characters that are so easy to just get a hold of, you know, like when you see somebody like Andre Chase, oh, he's the professor guy. When you see someone like Grayson Waller, oh, he's the online fame whore.
Tony D'Angelo,
he's the mafioso, right? Yes, so all of these characters are so clearly defined. Yeah. Joe Gacy, he's the toxic, screwed up, perverted millennial, right? So all of these, like these are their characters, and they're so clearly defined. And that's something I appreciate from 2.0. But when you say evolution and you link it to NXT, man, all I can think of is evolution is a mystery full of change that no one sees.
There you go. And again, we're not like we're not like denigrating Black and Gold, the Black and Gold.
No, we're not.
Oh my God.
Appreciate it. I a lot of us liked it. I know a lot of people, a lot of fans, especially very vocal fans, love that era and they don't like this one. And I mean, that's how it goes. That's how evolution goes. So if this is something you want to get off, you can get off. Wrestling is for everyone, but not all wrestling is for everybody. So,
but also it's like, I think the reality too, and maybe I'm trying to bring, I'm bringing more of this. I'm trying to bring more of William Regal energy into my life in 2022. Like, just appreciating that it happened, because yes, it was great. And the WWE network still exists. And there's
Peacock. Yeah, exactly.
And you're able to go back and take it in. And if that's what you love, like, I you know, different people have different favorite matches. Your favorite match doesn't need to be the next match that's happening. It could be the match that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. And that's completely fine. You could still watch it. It's still there. So enjoy that. Right, and hopefully there are new matches that are happening that you love too.
Yeah, no one can take these memories away from you, right? Like, I don't know if you guys were there for TakeOver at the Barclays Center, but that was my very first WWE event in the U.S. The one where Gargano and Cole had a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah. Like, there's like TakeOver five of them.
2019.
Yeah.
So like I carry that in my heart of hearts as a wrestling fan, because that was so special to me. It was my very first experience of being in the U.S. and watching an actual event that was airing on television as well. So, you know, if you love that era, that's fine. You know, no one can take that away from you. And that's great. That's the best part about Evolution, as we've talked about.
Yeah,
exactly. Mine was the North American ladder match. At TakeOver, and we saw that one in New Orleans for WrestleMania weekend. Oh my God, that match was insane. But yeah, exactly. So like, and most of those matches have nostalgia attached to them, which is why you put your value into them. So you can always go back. You can make new memories with these new characters, or you can, you know, there's so many options. So.
Yes.
That's what we're focusing on the new year, finding what works for us. You find what works for you. Hopefully, if you don't hear us talking about something that you want us to talk about, reach out, let us know, ask questions, send emails. That's how we'll know what you would want to hear our thoughts on. And also, you know, hopefully this just makes you want to go out and find more things that you might like as well. So, this is we brand new. We brand new.
Just positivity, acceptance, inclusivity. Yeah. Joe Gacy.
Y'all know I'm a Joe Gacy fan. You know I'm a Joe Gacy.
God, we have to bring him. He could be our. He could be our third co-host at this point. Let's make it happen.
All right, so we're gonna just take a little break, and we'll get into some AEW.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, on AEW, we had two much anticipated championship matches. And then, well, those are the ones I knew going into it. And then we had a third one. I was like, what is happening? So, of course, we got the rematch between Hangman Page, who is the AEW champion, against Bryan Danielson. I mean, their first match, was a 60-minute draw, right? Oh, my God, it was so long.
Yeah. And it's like, God, they did such a good job.
They did.
Well, not only with the match, but it's weird because, like, I don't feel like there was a lot of a build to the feud, but it's the intensity of it that I've appreciated. So even just, like, the fact that they had that 60-minute match, and I loved what came out of that from Bryan Danielson, who I still want to call Daniel Bryan, where he was just like, well, you didn't beat me. You didn't beat me. So you have to beat me, because that's your responsibility as champion. It's not to not lose. It's to win. And you didn't win, which was kind of his angle. And I appreciated that. So it was fun coming into this match. And then the blood was kind of the thing that blew my mind, because we don't see that, well, we don't see that in WWE, but we just don't see that often in modern wrestling. And I think that that also added to the intensity, though. I'm not encouraging everyone to blade and to do blood stuff, like keep your blood to yourself. But that, you know, that's kind of what was
Yeah, as a medical professional, I'm always like, I'm on record, like the blood stuff just does not do it for me, mostly because I think I was traumatized as a child watching Eddie Guerrero bleed
on
the forehead.
Judgment Day 2004. I was traumatized by that too.
Let me tell you, I was traumatized by Rey Mysterio bleeding on like a SmackDown event that I went to in like May 2005. Like, it was my birthday and it was not cute. I did not have blood. Hulk Hogan bleeding, didn't want to see that.
So blood aside, though, this was a great match. I thought it was hilarious that they kind of tease like another draw. It's like, oh, they hear the judges, like, oh, like, is it gonna be another draw? And then and then Hangman got the decisive win. I thought that was really great, because I know a lot of people online were like, oh my God, is this going to be another 60-minute match? But they did a great job. It sets Hangman Page up. He is like, is almost like a double coronation. Like, okay, he's in his bag. He's a champion. And now everybody wants to be like, okay, who's next? Who's next? And I think this was great. I think this was Daniel Bryan said he wanted to go. He wanted to have these intense matches. He wanted to help move the needle, you know, and this is how you do it. Of course, I love me some cowboy shit. So this was a epic match to kick off the TBS era of AEW. I'm still kind of flabbergasted that they're on TBS. Like, I don't know how TV deals work at all, but I thought they were playing when they said they were going to TBS or something. I thought it was only for like the hockey season or something.
I'm the foreigner here. I'm the gaijin who doesn't know the difference between TBS and TNT. So can you fill me in on this?
No, I feel like I barely do either.
Exactly. Like, I just know TBS is like, that's where the funny is. That's why I went from Family Guy and older reruns of like a Big Bang Theory, and then TNT is where the drama is, basketball and the closure and stuff like that. I don't know if there's a hierarchy. They're not basic, you know, they're not network.
Yeah, they're on cable.
Yeah, they're on cable. Yeah. So, but I honestly truly thought they only meant that they were going to be there for the hockey season or something, because I know they got transition over there or basketball or something, but I think they're there now. So I was like, oh, okay. Just make sure your DVRs are set correctly, y'all. I guess that's the biggest thing to tell everybody, so you don't. Or
else, I don't even know what else is on other than like NBA. I don't know what else is on TNT. So don't record that accidentally.
Yeah, exactly. It was like basketball in AEW. So, and as we enter that TBS era, we got a new TBS champion. So,
Before we do that, I just want to give one last, like, especially for this match, like a shout out to JR, because he did a really good job calling this match. Mm-hmm. And I think he's done a really, he did a good job calling this match, because he was away, I think, for maybe he was away for the last one.
Yeah, for cancer treatment.
Yeah, for his skin cancer treatment, which of course he has overcome skin cancer now, which is great news. But I felt like I was listening to JR from like 20 years ago or 25 years ago even, which is really awesome, because you know, a lot of people have criticized his commentary, but he was so spot on, and I think he added to the match in a big way for me at least. So
honestly, unless you're Pat McAfee, I tune it all out. Like,
and I tune him out now too. So I don't know. No, I don't know. I honestly like to just like watch the show and take it in and appreciate it. Cause like the thing is, like, each commentator sort of influences the energy in a different way. Like Pat McAfee's energy is a big, like, he has the big excitement energy.
I love Pat McAfee.
And the fanboy that has the mic, you know?
Exactly. And sometimes I'm just not at that level. I'm like, sir, let me be upset about this. Like,
no. In my world, I strive to have Pat McAfee energy. Like in whatever job I do, if I can have Pat McAfee energy, I know I'll have done a good job. So that man is my hero.
I know, right? He just leaves me exhausted and I'm just like, let me have a break. Come on. Like, let me just watch some. I want like some sleepy wrestling, like calm.
Oh my God.
Like, commentators. No,
you know
golf.
Who's really worth listening to? Excalibur. He's somebody who I really enjoy listening to because really learn stuff from him. Like you learn about names and moves and why this hurts, where did this come from and all that. Like when I was trying to prepare for the role I have right now, Excalibur was somebody whose work I watched and tried to listen to. Just pick up some little details and stuff. So that's me just being a nerd about commentary and all that. Mm-hmm. But going back to Brian versus Hangman. Got to give a shout out to Paul White and Mark Henry for being part of that, because there's some history between those two giants and Daniel Bryan.
Oh yeah,
right? Think back to 2011 when Bryan became world champion for the first time. He pinned Big Show, who was incapacitated by Mark Henry. Pay-per-view. So you know there's some connective tissue there. And 2012 Royal Rumble, 10 years ago, they were in a three-way against one another for the world title.
I mean,
so there's a bit of history there.
There's definitely history there. Shout out to Jerry Lynn. I'm sure there's some history, but
I have no idea what Jerry Lynn's connection to Brian is.
Probably some ROH connection or something like that. Like, but yeah, definitely someone who I think has been underrated in the last couple of decades in wrestling. And so Jerry Lynn, I've always been a fan of him. I just want to mention the epic no bumps, quote unquote, no bumps match with Lance Storm, where basically they didn't take any bumps at all and still had an epic match. And so he's a legend. He's a legend. It's on YouTube. Check it out.
Okay, I'll watch.
I need to see what was on their notes, by the way. You remember the notes that they had? They had these clipboards at the show. I wanted to like zoom in and see if there was like some Lord Ipsum shit going on there.
They should auction those off or something. Or like there's like Big Show's doodling or Big Show, Paul White's doodling. You know, you never know.
Like, I'll be the first to tell you that at these segments where there are like contracts, like I was at a local event where we had this contract signing, and then the contract that we used had the lyrics to the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way as the filler text.
Gosh, that's hilarious.
Every contract in wrestling.
I don't remember if I love or hate a contract signing at this point anymore, but I love that. Ooh. I love that. I don't remember.
Hate them.
I just think like the legal, like we need to respect the legal profession more.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And not put Backstreet Boy lyrics on the contract. So yeah, maybe I am mad.
and everything we're talking about, the clips of course can be found in our highlights of the week. You can see a little bit of the Hangman versus Danielson match, but we always encourage you to do a little bit so your own research. There might be some unofficial stuff that you might find. We are not backing piracy or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, these are little clips.
I don't know what you can find something about. No,
I mean, I'm from the Philippines. I'm absolved from this conversation.
Yeah, and I don't look. I've never done anything illegal in my life.
I've never seen Spider-Man No Way Home. So
no. I mean, same, but actually, so yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure Stan can give you a link. Anyway,
to my ticket. I don't even know what it's called. My box office. Yes,
got it. So we got a new TBS champion. So the TNT champion is the male secondary title, the men's secondary title. So the TBS championship will be the women's secondary championship.
On that, just to like jump in on that one, even just what you said, like I love that it's not the TBS women's champion or anything. Yes. I even caught myself in taking my notes, like noting that, like, oh my God, I love that it's just the TBS championship. We very rarely get women's championships that are not called the women's championship. So that's kind of unique.
Exactly. And it, like, I remember, do you remember, was that like 2 or 3 years ago when there was that rumor going around that like, oh, WWE is going to take women's champion off of the belts and people got all mad or something like that. And it was like, it doesn't, I think we talked about it. It's like, it's not that big of a deal, but it is kind of that big of a deal that at least with the introduction of the new title, you know what I'm saying, that they didn't include it. So I don't care either way. Personally, I really don't like. I like to respect the lineages of the belts, and so if it's the WWE Women's Champion belt or the Divas title, whatever, I personally, you know, I don't really care. But I did like this TBS champion, the belt, the design. I like that Jade Cargill won.
Bam!
If you look at our YouTube, you'll see a picture of Jade.
Bam! That's for each app she has.
Bam!
That woman is unreal, man. That woman is unreal. Score one for the former basketball players. I really appreciate it when basketball players transition to wrestling. You have your Lash legends and your old bosses of the world. Man, Jade Cargill, seeing her be put in this position after the strong build she's had over the last year of her career, right? That rookie year. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for her success and seeing her daughter in the crowd. You cannot be happy.
So
you can't be not happy for her, even though she's a villain.
Yes.
No, and I also love, there's so many things here, but one of them is that, like, I feel like so much of this past year, I just keep seeing her on Twitter and it's her fighting, like not even, I don't want to say fighting with fans, but almost like defending herself against fans and just speaking up and being vocal. And a lot of it is like about, you know, being a Black woman or even just like being who she is, where she has like a degree in, I think, social sciences, but then also a master's degree in like child psychology. So like she's like she's got her stuff together. She trends constantly.
She like does. New people find her and they're like, oh my god, who is this woman? I want to know who she is.
Oh, I thought you'd say new people find her and they're like, oh, I hate her, I just want to yell at her.
No.
And
then,
but yeah, no, it's amazing. And she's like, she is I think someone who I could see huge things from, because I mean, one, she's like a huge competitor, a huge like person, which is amazing. But also, what? I mean, she's only getting better. She's surrounded by like some of the best women, arguably, in the business right now. And so this is, I'm a fan.
So her and Ruby Soho had a match in the finals of the TBS Championship tournament, which I loved. It took like months. I think they started in November or something like that.
They did.
And this is what I love about, like, if you're going to have a tournament and it goes this long, I really like that because it feels like it gives it a longer build, a better build and all that stuff. So I really like that. Her and Ruby.
It's like it's a storyline, and and that's the thing. Like, because there are many times where we'll see tournaments that are not actually turned into storylines. But just before we even get to the Ruby match, like we saw Jade beat Red Velvet in the first round, kind of in a. Actually, it was about a 10-minute match, so not like the quick squashes that we mostly see from Jade. Because I saw it somewhere on here, I think after the match, they mentioned her record in AEW is 23-0.
Okay,
23-0 now, right? And so, she beat Red Velvet, then went on to beat Thunder Rosa, but not until there was there was a little bit of like a feud and some anger between them, so that built up. Mercedes Martinez showed up and helped.
I was waiting for the shout out, man.
So I'm just going to do this right now. You should be on the YouTube because like this is what I'm going to keep doing.
All right.
Respect.
And then we got to the Ruby Soho match. So again, like I was saying, putting Jade with more experienced people, I think is something that'll pay off.
Exactly. In this match, Jade is still new. She's still getting her the feet under it. So, you know, was it perfect? No, it wasn't perfect. Was it serviceable? I think so. I thought it got the point across. I like her and Ruby's chemistry.
It depends what we're talking about. Like if we're talking about in-ring work, that's what it's kind of like what I was saying about like the some people are like the fans of the in-ring workers and some people are fans of the characters, and I don't have a problem with Jade's character, but
not at all.
We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, like smart Mark Sterling with her. I loved all of that. The run-ins didn't didn't, you know, really affect anything, mm-hmm. like didn't take away anything from me. I thought it was pretty good. I think people can be a little bit harder on her. She's considered AEW homegrown talent. And I think this, when they announced this tournament, I was like, how do you not have Jade win? I feel like this was building to this.
Yeah.
For the longest. So, I'm glad it turned out like this. I can't wait to see what she does. If the tradition continues and the secondary championship is supposed to be the workhorse championship, yeah. then mm-hmm. let's see her. Let's put her in the ring. Let's get her in there with as many people as possible, you know? So that's the only way you're going to get better is getting yeah. those reps in. So, I'm excited, for it. Any final thoughts from anybody about the, Ruby?
Yeah, I mean, I would just throw in like more about Jade, like because I went back, and you know, this week, as listeners will notice, like we kind of have a more streamlined episode. We're kind of trying out some new things in terms mm-hmm. of that, but I think that also gave me more space to go back and just appreciate Jade more. So I was watching, like, I watched a match from back in August, and then rewatched the tournament matches, and like there's her strength, her cockiness, the character. Mm-hmm. Like, and one thing I saw is that she looks to China and to yes. Storm from the X-Men as inspirations. And like, you could totally see it. And it totally makes sense. And, you know, maybe she's not the best quote unquote in-ring worker, but I don't think that really takes away from what she's able to bring as a character. And I actually think that kind of adds
her to heat it.
Because she gets mm-hmm. a little bit of that, just that hate from people who are like, she's not good enough. We don't want this. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it. We love it.
Just to add to that, I'm glad, Mari, that you mentioned Smart Mark Sterling, because I think he's yes. such a really interesting addition to the character, to the entire package. Like, imagine yeah. somebody like Smart Mark Sterling being all smarmy, right, as a manager. But when you see Jade Cargill just dominating the conversation, being in charge, right? Like, you love to see a strong, independent, powerful yeah. woman asserting herself against this man in a suit, right?
Yeah. And
he's, oh, yeah, I've got your career on lock. No, no, no. This is my career. You know your place, I pay yeah. you, and yeah. and I appreciate that whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it can only get better from here. Like, honestly, she's been putting in so much great work over the years with her character, with the back and forth, putting her with Smart Mark. It's just been so good to watch, and I just can't wait to see what she does as a champion now. And I'm just very excited to be.
But also, like, again, like, not to stress it too much, but also not to understate it. Like, okay, in theory, we'll see her with Mercedes Martinez by her side, 21 year veteran who yeah. don't even need to go through that lineage and history. Thunder Rosa, like Ruby Soho. So we're getting these people who will help consistently every single week make Jade better. And I mean, I was thinking about this. I almost don't feel like that could happen if she's not champion, because now you have the top people coming at her as opposed to her challenging, you know, trying to challenge the champion, which doesn't make as much sense. I really am excited for what's going to happen with Jade here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, and finally, I mean, we got new AEW tag team champions. Finally, Jurassic Express has won the AEW World Tag Team Champions. And Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, is Austin, aka Luchasaurus, the first Big Brother alum to win a major title?
No, you're wrong. Because Mr. Pectacular, Jesse Godders, baby, one of the bad boys of Big Brother season 10, season 11, appearances on 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, Celebrity Big Brother, season 20, season 21, all over the place. Jesse Godders won the TNA Tag Team Championships twice. So,
I think that counts.
I know. So that means all the big three of the CSS Big Three reality shows are represented, right? You have John Morrison, wow. Survivor, Amazing Race, Robert Stone, and then Big Brother, Jesse Godders, and yes. Luchasaurus, right?
Wait, Robert Stone was on Amazing Race?
Yeah, season 25, alongside Brooke Tessmacher.
Yeah. Brooke, wait, they almost won.
They were fourth place. Like, I binged that season last year and I loved it. I loved them so much.
Great. I watched it in the real time and I still remember it. And I should season 29. I need to watch that again because I've been on an amazing race.
Season 29?
No, 25.
Okay. I think I missed it. With me and Amazing Race, like I watched two seasons.
I get it.
I skip. I watched a season. I skip. It
took a global pandemic to get me back into the Amazing Race.
Now I'm curious. Now I'm like, okay, I could watch because I'm like, how did they film this show?
Was there a hook of that season? Like, what was there a hook?
Was it
called? Well, for me, the hook was they went to the Philippines.
No. So.
Like, because I remember
that's
I watched.
It. That was why I watched too. No, I don't know why. I don't remember the hook.
Because I remember I watched the Reality Stars one. I watched the Blind Date one. I watched the Strangers one. It's been a minute. Now I am so.
I'm looking it up. I can't remember if there was any particular hook. I don't think there really was. Yeah, I don't think there was.
How did we go this long? Matt, why didn't you say anything?
You mean like,
I mean, you two are part of the whole reality TV network, so that's on you two.
Look, here's what I'll say. Like, Robert Stone is such a different character than when he was Robbie E with like the Jersey Shore style thing. And also time.
He was Robbie E?
Yeah.
Smari.
One and only.
What?
Yeah. And he brought that whole dude bro persona to the Philippines, all the way to the Philippines, where they where they made it to the Amazing Race 25. It was there. It was all there.
I am like flabbergasted right now. I could not tell that was the same guy.
Hey,
yeah, the one
fist pump. Woo. Okay, wait.
Like, maybe he's hiding it all under that suit. I just didn't realize.
No, he's much leaner today than he was back when he was running.
This is hilarious. I'm like, sorry. If anyone, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for laughing so loudly into the mic just because this is hilarious. And
yeah, this is great.
This is so funny.
I thought you were just like,
how are you have a wrestling podcast and don't know who Robbie? I'm sorry. I'm kind of bad with faces when it comes to like
he's been wearing sunglasses though for the most part, and he actually wore sunglasses back then too, so
did he also have that blind spot in your wrestling fandom?
So confused.
Don't expose her, Stan.
No. What I'm saying
has been watching consistently forever. She has watched every single week and has never missed.
TNA,
a show.
I've said on this podcast that TNA, I've dipped in and out at best. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but I knew who Robbie E was. I mean, like that whole aesthetic was a thing. You know?
Yeah.
But I couldn't even tell. I could not tell. But
again, no, I was a big fan back then or at least like I watched a good amount of TNA at that time too. So I don't blame you.
He is leader, so it's kind of hard to put it together. Like when you think of him as Robbie E, I guess, or that guy from Amazing Race 25. So that plays a
cross my mind.
He looks shorter in NXT too.
I mean, there are bigger people.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, we have the Walters and Trick Williamses, right?
Yeah.
Like walking around.
Okay. Maybe he's just a good actor.
Amazing Race.
Congratulations to Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for getting their championship moment.
Oh, yeah.
They had a really good match against the Lucha Brothers. Unfortunately, Phoenix got injured during the match.
That was nasty.
They did say that his arm wasn't broken. It was just like badly dislocated.
Which is insane because like on the YouTube version, which is in our clips, like thankfully like AEW edited or they blurred out his arm. Mm-hmm. So you don't see it. But I was like, wait, and I searched it and I regret seeing what happened.
Yeah,
like,
why would you do that to yourself, Matt?
Because I was really confused. I was like, wait, I didn't know like what the injury was when I saw. So I was like, I need to watch it. This is a wrestling podcast. This is what we do. And it reminded me of Sid Vicious and Sid's leg when he jumped.
Leg.
But that's why I was so shocked that Phoenix didn't break his arm. So hopefully he's able to come back soon.
Rest.
You know what?
Injuries suck. You just want people to get better. That's it. Injuries suck.
Yeah, injuries do suck. And we definitely want to get better. And I think the big thing is like, that was like gruesome to watch. I would not recommend looking up the injury is what
no,
I'm
No,
what
go,
I'm
getting please,
at.
Please yeah, look please it up. If that turns you on, if that's your thing, go right ahead.
If you have a wrestling podcast, do it. Don't do it. No, don't listen to Stan. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't watch it.
So congrats. So they're the new champions. And it felt like one of those things that paid off. Like this is something that we've been building towards for years. It feels like. So I'm so excited for them. Luchasaurus, Austin. So happy for you. Jungle Boy Jack Perry is amazing. Like just such a great, like, person to root for. Like you just feel like he's like the consummate underdog, so you always like want to root for him. Mm-hmm. And so Jurassic Express winning the titles, I'm very happy for them, and I'm excited to see what happens. Okay, so we got to talk about it. I don't feel like it, but we got to talk about it. We have to talk about the big swole Tony Khan situation. Like it's all anybody has been talking about for the last week. It's been a week. And, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I've been like tweeting about it, you know, retweeting. I think it's a really big conversation to have on multiple levels. Like it's kind of really crazy to me that a podcast where Big Swole, if you don't know Big Swole, a wrestler, her contract in AEW had just expired and run out, I think, at the end of last year. She announced she wasn't coming back to AEW.
Yeah.
And then she did her own podcast. She has her own podcast, I think on the Call-In app, I think it's called. And she talked about her time at AEW. She talked about a lot of things, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a great picture of Big Swole on the screen if you're on our YouTube account. She talked about a lot of things, but of course, the one thing that was cherry picked from the podcast was she had just said that AEW has a diversity problem. And she listed some suggestions as to how they could diversify. And then people took it and ran with it. And it just created a huge, it's a shitstorm. I hate to say it, but it was a shitstorm on social media. Yeah. And it just really felt like a pile on because in that podcast, I listened to the podcast, like like 90% of that podcast was like praise, you know, it was praise.
Yes,
praise,
literally. Praise. More than 90%, even like it,
99%.
Even in what she was saying that was like critical.
Yeah.
It's not from a place of like, let me drag them down. It's like, it was literally the framing of like, here's how they can be better.
Exactly.
And if we're not able to take feedback, constructive feedback, especially from people who aren't represented in leadership. I mean, and this isn't even a wrestling thing. This is for our world. Like,
yes, exactly.
That's our problem to deal with. And you know, what we saw is that Tony Khan did not take the feedback the most well. He decided to take a shot at Swole and her ring work, even though he didn't seem to have a problem with that when she was under contract and not talking about diversity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also think that, cause I did listen to the podcast too.
Yeah.
And one thing I'll just say, by the way, is that like Fightful did a good job, like including a ton of transcripts from the podcast with Swole.
Yeah.
We definitely, I'll make sure that we link to the Swole podcast in our show notes, because like, even though they did a good job with the transcripts, the problem is every single headline is basically, including Fightful, is like Big Swole says AEW lacks diversity. And that's like not even the key
not
point of what
the,
she was saying. But if people only read that headline in response to that, which is what most people do, well, we kind of have the storm that we've seen since she made those comments and since Tony Khan and others have responded.
Exactly. I was trying to look up Tony Khan's tweet here real quick.
I thought about that. And then, I mean,
you don't want
to pull it up. No, I'm just like, Yeah, actually, yeah, bring it up, because the thing is, what my here's how I feel. Just to break down kind of what Swole was saying beyond what Mari mentioned, even is that yeah. She made a really great logical point. And I actually want to shout out another podcast that I've listened to for years. It's I feel so weird saying the name because I know Mari is going to be like, what? It's the Going in Raw podcast it's hosted by two guys, Steven Larson, who have like a big fan community. And some of you probably know them, but it is two white guys, but they were talking about the situation. They did a really great job breaking it down. And, you know, some of what they were pointing out from what Swole was saying was like, you have the talent that you hired on. And this is what Swole said. You have the talent you hired on. Now you're hiring on more people. You're bringing in the Bryan Danielsons. You're bringing in Adam Cole. You're bringing all these people who then lead to the people who've been there not having TV time. And the, one of the points that Swole is making is like, if I'm signed to this major company, I should be on TV. Like, use me. Don't sign me and have me sit around. And then this is where I was thinking a little bit about WWE and releases, because we do look at those negatively, but also it sucks to sit on the shelf and to not be able to work and then not have the option of even like going out and doing other things. And so I kind of see right now AEW sweeping up so much talent, and I think they just need to slow down and focus on who they have, because you have people like Swole and others who want to be used and are taking a back seat, even if they're on like YouTube, like they're taking a back seat to all of these bigger stars that are being signed. And it's a valid point. Like, when you have a company that doesn't have the writing team that WWE does, or the structure that WWE does,
the structure,
like, pitch to Tony Khan and tell him what you want to do and go ask, like, that doesn't work for everyone. And that shouldn't have to be how it is. People should, if they're signed, there should be a plan. They should be booked. And I get where Swole is coming from in large part with this. There's so much I have to say about this, but I'm going to stop talking for a second.
Yeah, no. Right on. Like, Swole was just talking about why she just didn't resign, because she just said her peace was being disrupted, and she knew that, you know, so when you realize that you don't, you're not into something or something needs to change, then you do, you know, you do that. And again, she also talked about how much she really liked Tony and how much of a great guy he was. And she gave an anecdote about like how he would take them out to dinner and stuff like that. It was just so much like really good like critiques and good stuff that we could have talked about to open like the doors and stuff and make AEW like better. Like, everything can always get better, y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things can always get better. If you can critique things that you love, you know, you can have constructive criticism. You don't need to go at some, you know, defend something so overwhelmingly when it's just a harmless critique. And that's what I felt Swole had. But the reason why this really kind of just got out of hand was because Tony Khan responded, the top two AEW execs are Brown, me and Mega, Jade, Bowens, Caster, Dante, Nyla, Isaiah, Mark, Quinn, all won on TV this month. The TBS title tournament has been very diverse. I let Swole's contract expire as I felt her wrestling wasn't good enough. And then he goes on to plug Rampage and the Street Fight.
And what were your thoughts when you saw that?
I was just going to say that was just insanely disrespectful and not necessary. And I kind of want to laugh too, because somebody pointed out like you were able to name every black or brown person in that tweet who won, and you still had enough like characters to then plug your show. And like, just like, that's not the flex you think it is.
But also, it's like, look at, and not to make the comparison, but it's an easy comparison to make, because we've talked about this a lot with WWE, Bianca Belair, Big E, Lashley. the list goes on and on of all of these black performers who have not only, like, it's not about getting wins, like, but my question for Tony Khan is, who's in those featured spots? Who is the show built around? Are any of your black performers in, like, being built around in the show? How could you do more? How could you do better? And, you know, what I just think about is, like, you have to, the thing that got me with this was, it's about power. Because at the end of the day, you know, he's not tweeting that to someone who has more power than him. He's tweeting that about someone who has more power. It's about someone who he feels like he could kind of punch at. And I will say, I don't think that, I mean, I wish that the tweet were deleted by this point, which is like one thing. But I would say too, I don't think that this means that they won't. It concerns me about their prospects for like more diversity and understanding it. It also bothers me that like she's clearly talking about her identity and experience, which is as a black woman and being a brown person. I mean, being a brown person of different types or even a person of color, of different, like all of us have different experiences, but in particular, being a black person in the United States is like so much different that that's really weak and shows a lack of understanding of like race and dynamics and power dynamics and privilege in our country. But that's a, you know, that's a conversation for another time.
Maybe this time.
Yeah.
Real quick, Stan, like people, diversity, inclusion and equity be kicking y'all asses. Those are three different things, y'all. Diversity, inclusion, equity.
Yeah.
Three different things, first and foremost. So naming off your black friends, that's not a way to respond to people say you have a lack of diversity. Like, I don't care if it's Tony Khan or who else. Like, that's how you say, oh, we're diverse. Having those black bodies there is not the end all be all. You have to, like Matt said, do they get equity in their creative process? It sounded like Swole did not. In her experience, she felt like it did not. She did not. Like, do they get those top spots? Is stuff being built around them? Like Matt said, like, and yes, it's like so many layers. It's really kind of annoying because once Tony did this tweet, not only that, not only did he list his friends, but he also took a dig at her on her way out, like, oh, you couldn't wrestle that good, which opens the floodgates for your millions of fans to then attack this lady because they're like, oh, well, if Tony Khan can say it, then I can say it. Like, what on God's green earth made you think that was okay? Like, they need to get a PR team. They need to get something. And I still haven't seen an apology by Tony Khan. And then, sorry, gonna keep going. This puts his current black talent in a pickle, especially those people he just named.
Now
that black talent either has to come in and defend him like Hobbs did, or they have to condemn them like Leo Rush did. But no matter what, so now Leo Rush is getting heat because he ended up saying he talked to Tony. He quote unquote back down. So people are like, you gave up. Then you got Hobbs releasing a full press release saying how he was treated and basically invalidating Swole's experience, which then people are going at him. It's like, now your black talent are receiving heat on your behalf and you still have not issued an apology, Tony Khan. And I'm just, and then you had, what's his face? The backstage guy talk about how he's like a backstage extra talent. I'm like, this is stupid. Tony Khan, you should have apologized. You shouldn't have ever sent the tweet. And no, I am not an e-drone who is just using this to get back at Tony Khan. I am a black woman who has experienced stuff like this in my personal work history.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate the way that Big Swole is being treated. I don't care if WWE would have done this. Do you understand the amount of vitriol they would have gotten? You know what I'm saying? Like, especially for me, like, I just don't, and saying that people are using this, they don't really care. They're just using this to shit on AEW. I'm a black fan. I'm a black wrestling fan.
Yeah.
This did not sit well with me. And to me, it's kind of like spitting in my face and saying, you do not care about my feelings. And to invalidate somebody's experience who wasn't even going at you like that just shows the level of immaturity is not there for you to own your own company.
But I, yeah, and I kind of just want to, like,
I don't know if Stan.
I was just gonna say I kind of want to let, and I'm curious. I know Stan has, I'm sure has a lot to add to this. We are going on and on and on because, like, I think for me, and I love what you said, Mari, just to kind of like widen it or bring it down to earth a little bit, is that, like, we, you know, this is personal for us because, like, we experience stuff like this in our day-to-day lives, mm-hmm. in our careers, where mm-hmm. people, and I love what you were saying about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and these being different things and things that people need to work on. And, like, also just the fact that, like, don't, like, just listen. Listen, that's all we're asking. Right. Listen, and I, like, we want to cheer. We want to cheer for you. We want the wrestling world to be amazing across the board. And I think it can still get there. I don't take this as a reflection of, like, the progress that can be made, because I think that it could be made, especially with these conversations, which is why we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not, you know, we're not doing it to put anyone down. But yeah, man, this is rough one. And it hits close to home. It really does.
It does.
I just want to start off what I have to say by acknowledging everything you said, Mari, because I think that's a lot of powerful stuff. Totally. I think that these are things that need to be said, especially since you stood up for yourself as a Black wrestling fan and as a Black woman, right? Yeah. And these are mm-hmm. things that I can't speak for as a man, as an Asian, you know? So mm-hmm. I recognize how different our experiences are. At the same time, the whole thing about being validated, I think, is something that a lot of people can relate to. And I'm going to probably try to put it into a personal context where you mm-hmm. leave a company that you were with, regardless of whatever industry that is. Let's say you're talking about healthcare, you talk about corporate or journalism or whatever the hell you're in, right? And you, on your way out, you do an exit interview. And that's basically where you have free rein to say whatever you have to say about your experience in the company, and to have your experience invalidated, and to have a very harsh, not even a critique, but a very harsh, I guess, assessment, for lack of a better term, of mm-hmm. your performance be aired in a public forum by somebody in that position in that company that you were on your way out of. It hurts. And I know that from my own experiences, because something similar had happened to me. Yeah. So when I saw that happen, I was like, I probably don't know everything that Big Swole is going through, but I understand the whole being validated bit and having this type of, for lack of a better term, shitstorm, where people are now coming after you because, you know, somebody, like my experience was, somebody said shit about me on a Reddit thread.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of my work, where I am a little bit of, I'm something of a public figure myself.
You are. Radio personality. Yeah, all of it. Yes, all of it.
But not to, like, inflate my ego. Like I know what it is to have somebody write about me on Reddit and say that, you know, he's talking shit, his mm-hmm. experiences are invalid. That hurt me. So I know what it is for somebody like Big Swole to go through that. And I empathize with her. I empathize with that situation because it sucks. Nobody should have to go through that. And I agree with what you said, because I empathize with that pain, because that experience does have pain rooted in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'm trying to think about, like, you know, because I think that this is a valuable conversation that obviously a lot of the more mainstream wrestling podcasts can't have, probably mostly because of their demographics of who's hosting, and or because they just don't know the extent that this matters or the severity of this. But it makes it really difficult for not to make it about us specifically, but as wrestling fans, it makes it really difficult because, like, and this is something that we experience all the time in media. Like, this was last year at this point, you know, in June, hosted Black Voices of RHAP, which was about reality TV and representation and Blackness and our podcasting. And, like, something that sucks, frankly, is that as Black people, but even more broadly as people of color of all of our identities, right, we have had to settle for the representation that we've had. And when people say, or when we raise our hands and say, hey, this isn't okay, we're kind of told to, like, eat our damn Cheerios, as Mari would say to her son, right? And so, like, I just kind of think that I really, it makes me sad because I don't see an avenue to actually be heard by Tony Khan, especially in a world where he hasn't apologized or, you know, deleted the tweet or anything like that. And it's sad because, like, we love wrestling and we want to love wrestling. And but it's hard to when we feel like personally invalidated. And like, Mari, especially from your perspective, what you're saying as a Black woman, it's like, how could we watch this without thinking about this and feeling like this is not for me? Because I would have said the same things that Swole said, but clearly it wouldn't have been received or listened to in the way that it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just very, very disappointing. And again, like, still having your talent, I think that's what really got me to like
that. Yeah. Putting them having in that position.
Putting your talent in that position. Like, mm-hmm. nobody wants to be, as a Black person,
yes.
who you know, has seen that, nobody wants to be put in that position. You see no. your coworker is talking to your boss about diversity, about inclusion, and then your boss is like, well, look, like, if someone's like, well, Mariama's fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? Like,
you have to say something.
Yeah, it puts you in a spot to either say something or to take a side, or it puts your livelihood at risk. You know what I'm saying? Because then, like, if you don't side with your boss, then do you get fired? Do you get demoted? Is your booking affected? Yes. You
know? And you're already fighting the perceptions of being seen as like an angry Black woman or angry Black
yeah.
man, or even like all that goes along with being a woman or being a Black person, just like to separate those identities out and like remove the intersectionality aspect. And so you're already dealing with that.
Yeah.
And then this. So,
and then this. And then look at Jade. Yeah. Jade won the TBS championship.
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking about how this was basically tailor-made for her. She wins. Now the discourse is, oh, they put it on her because she's Black. Because of the whole thing, you know,
which I don't like, they've been building to it, right?
They've been building toward it. It just made sense. Like, I would have, you know, I would have been more shocked if she had lost. And so it's now reducing her win to just the color of her skin. It's either, oh, she just won because she's Black, because like they want to blow this over, or it's, you know, or it's like, what's the other thing? She just won because she's Black, but also it's like, oh, like they're trying to appease, you know, they're trying to appease people. Well, you know, it's just so weird. I just thought it put the people still there in a horrible position.
Yeah.
It's a horrendous position.
To kind of shift this to like, not more of a positive, because I think that it's important that we said what we said. Like, what feels good to me is that I don't, like, as a wrestling fan, that we have, that even the three of us, but like Mari, that we have this space from week to week to have these conversations, because otherwise, yeah. like, we're not having these conversations truly. Maybe we're interacting on Twitter a little bit with people, but like, mm-hmm. we're not really having the space to kind of like go through the therapy of talking about it and breaking it down. And one of the things that I love and I'm excited for, hopefully as we like dive into this season, is to bring in more people who kind of get it, like mm-hmm. whether it's like specifically Black wrestling podcasters or other wrestling podcasts or others who just kind of get it and like value mm-hmm. these things and realize like, that these things matter. Cause like, we know that we're not crazy. We know where we're yeah. coming from, but it's like good to be able to bring in people who also get it and who also kind of like want and need that community of like, hey, we are in this together and maybe this kind of sucks, but like, it's awesome to know that we get it and we get each other and, you know, we could push for progress together, because like, that's the only way you can make change when you have that collective action, that collective voice, even speaking up and doing something. And I hope that we could be part of that collective voice and kind of like, not to be dramatic about it, but like link arms in a way with like the yeah. people who believe the same thing and like actually speak up and make change, because like what Swole said was on point. And I'm not forgetting that or leaving that alone anytime soon. And I'll, you know, I know that we'll push for that as often as we get the chance to. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's
fun.
I don't want to start again.
New year.
I don't want to start again because it'll go for another 15
it,
minutes.
Yeah. Go wrestling.
Inclusivity, Joe Gacy.
Yeah, acceptance. Stan, it was so great to have you back.
It was.
You know, we would love to have you back as often as possible. So if we call, pick up our calls, please. tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah.
Let us know what you're working on. Let them know where you can, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I appreciate every time you hit me up and ask me to come and join you on the Wrestling Wrap Up. I'll never say no to any invites, even though it's past midnight where I'm at. I love it, Matt. I love it just hanging out with you here on the podcast. But if you're Filipino and you're outside the U.S. and you want to check out WWE premium live events in our native tongue or in one of our native tongues, Tagalog, you can check it out on the WWE Network. There's an audio option where you can choose Tagalog and you'll hear my voice alongside Carlo Pamintuan, who does play-by-play. So we're really happy to be part of the WWE's first ever Tagalog or Filipino announced team. It's a dream job for me, and I can't believe I'll be calling the Royal Rumble in a few weeks. And then, you know, every show thereafter. So you can check out WWE commentary in Filipino on the WWE Network for only $9.99. So go check that out. Outside of my work with WWE, I took part in a documentary about my heritage as a Chinese Filipino. You know, we talked about representation. And it's something I really, really value as well. And I was really fortunate to be part of something like that. It's called Chinese by Blood, Filipino by Heart. If you want to know about our story, you can check that out over on Facebook and on YouTube. Just look for that title, Chinese by Blood, Filipino by Heart. And I still do the Wrestling podcast here in the Philippines, where it's basically what we do here on the Wrestling Wrap Up, except for the for a Filipino audience. And, you know, we're not as lucky to have female voices on the show. So I think that, you know, the Wrestling Wrap Up has that over the Wrestling podcast and everything else that I do, from the voice work, and the TV work. You can check that out on my Linktree. It's linktr.ee/stancysays. And finally, I don't know if you know of this supermarket called Seafood City. It's a Filipino-owned supermarket in the U.S. I recently joined them as their in-store voice. So if you hear the in-store ads in that supermarket in both Tagalog and in English, I'm the male voice that does those plugs. So that's pretty cool that, you know, my work from here in the Philippines is able to make it onto the U.S. It just blows my mind still.
Now I'm
Wait,
Googling
what's that
it.
Grocery store called?
Seafood City.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Wait. I have a That's special so cool. request for any... I have a lot of requests now. So, one, if you are a Seafood City customer, patron, go, like, take out your phone when you hear Stan's voice and just record the ceiling and just send us that video. If you are not in the U.S. and you are listening to Stan's commentary, record your screen. Not for too long, because we don't want anyone to get in trouble for copyright issues. But record your screen. Send that over to us.
I'm not officially endorsing this request, by the way.
No, but like, I think like if you do for like 10 seconds, you know, it's, I think they excuse it. Like it's more of like an aunt or uncle type of move. Like, oh, look, it's Mari on TV. I should start recording this podcast on my phone. I'm over here. But no, you're awesome, Stan. And like, thanks for being here and for your enthusiasm being part of this podcast. And like, of course, we will have you on as often as possible. Thank you for also hopping on and being our first guest of the new year. And I think it's time, I guess this is where we plug ourselves. So this I will do some plugs. I'll plug some things. So I mentioned Podcaster Mafia, which I really don't want anyone to watch because it was so it's like 4 hours. It's probably too long.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Pull it up right now. I'll, you know what, I'll link to it in the show notes if anyone's curious, just to make it easier, but definitely don't watch that. And also linking to all the things that Stan mentioned in the show notes as well. Beyond that, this week I was on Challenge Wrap Up with Allie and Brian and had so much fun. I actually need to go back and listen because it was like so much chaotic energy and all over the place, but like I had so much fun doing that and talking about the Challenge All Stars 2. And I'll actually be podcasting about the Challenge All Stars 2 again next week on the Reality podcast about the finale. I think that's the finale. So that's coming up And the last thing I'll mention is that I have a podcast which hasn't actually, I guess, officially, we haven't officially announced it, but I just like to plug it at the end of these episodes for the real ones. It's called Pod Friends, and it is me having one-on-one conversations with podcasters in this RHAP universe. Of course, at some point, you know, I'm trying to get Stan C on. I'm trying to get Mari Forth on, and we're going to make things happen. And it's premiering on January 16th on RHAP. So if you want to follow along with that, you could, of course, follow me on social media at Matt Scott GW, but even more, follow Pod Friends at Hey Pod Friends on social media. So I'm happy. I have a lot of good fun plugs to start the year off. But yes. Mari, where are you? Yeah. Where can people find you? What are you up to? Tell them where to show you the love that you deserve.
I just wrapped up. We wrapped up the final season of Insecure over on Post Show Recap. So just go to postshowrecaps.com/insecure, and you can find we did the farewell season 5. We covered all 10 episodes. It was very emotional, as it is one of my favorite shows. And to be there to cover the last season was amazing. I was joined by Chappelle and LaTanya, and a whole host of great guests. So go check that out. Especially if you've been binging Insecure, go check it out. Other than that, you know, we've been popping up on some things. I'll be popping up on some things a little later, you know, at the reality TV.
The Royal Rumble, yeah.
You know, reality TV is coming back. And so hopefully I can pop up on some of our favorite reality TV show podcasts. So just go follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, 2 to figure out where I will be showing up next. All right. So other than that, go subscribe to the Wrestling Rehab podcast by going to www.robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. That way you can easily subscribe to us on all of the platforms. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And like we said, like, we want to hear from you. Go follow us on Twitter. Go send us an email, you know, tweet hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up. We want to hear your feedback. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about. We hope you guys like the new format. Give us what your thoughts on it. We'll be tweaking it. Like Matt said, we're hoping to have some more guests, new guests, knowledgeable guests. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great season. We still don't know if we're doing seasons or not, but it's going to be a great road to WrestleMania. Hop aboard on the road to WrestleMania with us.
Where's this? I thought it was going to be an analogy of some sort. Hop aboard our train, our boat, our plane, whatever you want to hop aboard on. We're going to be going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
In theory, not actually. Well, who knows? Who knows? We might end up there. Because Mari's going to win the Royal Rumble.
So, other than that, everybody, just remember wrestling is for everyone, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Watch out for any flying elbows. Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.